Good morning. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Dawson Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And I am going to have a purple stick, and Austin's wandering around somewhere here. He'll be here in a moment. And he basically, I think he was looking for some more purple sticks. But I'm going to have my powdered multiple and my purple sticks right now. I did that yesterday when I did the start of the show, and it really, really kicked me in pretty good. Hey, Austin, I'm glad you show up, man.
I'm back. I'm here. I'm rolling.
You know, we do have a show.
Gosh, sorry, guys. It's been a wild morning. I need a shake. Something. What you got?
I'm trying to figure out why you just think you can just drag in here like a cat.
You well, know, you know, it's part of my company too, so I guess
that's true.
I'd be a minute late. We give our customers these great shows every single day, but we do have other things going on as well.
Yeah, yesterday
I'm running out of multiple powder too. I got to get another shipment in. Almost everybody's bought it out.
By the way, we basically lost our video feed yesterday. I apologize for that. We had some uplink to some server somewhere in someplace, whatever.
Well, the thing about it is when we do these shows, I mean, there's a lot of different things going on as far as with you know, connections, with internet. And, of course, we got to remember we're supposed to have, like, the best internet in the world with 5G, except it seems like it's gotten worse.
Well, that's because they're trying to run too many military psyops on top of it.
The thing that's crazy about it is they're telling us the whole reason it's there is to give us faster internet speed. And yet, it just keeps having more problems. So I guess, as we long know, it hasn't been for the internet speed. It's all about.
Well, we've got a top story here. We want to talk about what happened here as far as what's going on with Ukraine and weapons and missiles and all kinds of.
I saw the interview.
Yeah, you see it?
I'll bring it up here in a second.
Yeah.
And we're also a health show, too. So Team Health Masters, if you guys need anything, you know to get a hold of us. Ultimate Multiple Powder. If I don't take all of it, he probably is, or the rest of the customers are. So grab it while it's on sale right now, one last day for product of the week on the website, Team Health Master. What do I got? I got a 15% off, I think.
I've got to grab a fresh one at the office. We're done, yeah.
Yeah, so if you guys need anything, thanks for supporting us, and thank you for sending us emails and keeping us updated, and the positive reports and the reviews. You know, there's a big review somebody put on here. They said, when the Brewers say ultimate, they're not kidding. He gave us a great review here as far as the most complete, highest quality multiple vitamin on the market. And it works. Everybody likes it. But yes, get into the topic at hand.
This is a good one.
I've talked about this for 2 years.
2 years. We told you this for 2 years ago.
I had my buddies there in military contracting that told me about this when it first started. And now Tucker Carlson did an interview with U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel, retired Lieutenant Colonel, for an Iraq and Afghanistan veteran, Daniel Davis. It said right here, significant portion of the weapons of Washington is provided to Kyiv's military aid in the conflict are going to our actual enemies, including the Mexican drug cartel.
Says up to half the weapons sent to
Ukrainian
US
military selling a huge percentage, up to half the arms we send them, and those for a fact. And I talked to one of my buddies about it last night that's been involved in military contracts back in the day, and he told me one of the biggest issues that's happening as well is it's not just going on with Ukraine selling them. Remember, a lot of the money that was spent for this Ukrainian aid, it goes directly to like Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and the top five contractors. The money, actually, a lot of it hasn't gone directly to Ukraine in cash. It's going to Raytheon. And then Raytheon and Lockheed sell the weapons with DOD checks. They get checks from the Treasury, from DOD. Then they send the weapons to Ukraine. Well, what they're doing now, and this is what I've heard as they've been doing this now the whole time, they're getting paid. They're sending the weapons to Ukraine. Well, then they're just having the weapons trafficked. They're not even really landing in Ukraine for any period of time. They're disappearing right when they get there.
But there's no guarantee Lockheed Martin's involved in this. It could just be somebody else in the middle of the
proxies,
chain.
Yep. And that's what it is. Because if you see the movies like Lord of War with Nicolas Cage, weapon trafficking is a very, very lucrative industry. It's unbelievably illegal and it's very dangerous, but it's a lot of money. There's always wars, and wars got to be funded. And so these weapons now, as I told you, going through the Black Sea, through Istanbul, and then the rest of the world. And now apparently the Mexican drug cartel, which we already claimed this. I told you guys this 2 years ago, this was going on. And now basically this U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel veteran Daniel Davis is now confirming this, which is what I thought. So surprise, surprise.
Well, there's no surprise with any of this because the whole mantra of these clowns is out of chaos will come a new world order. And they want to ship these guns and these weapons all over to third world countries.
Correct.
So they can have skirmishes and fights everywhere.
Destabilization.
Destabilization is the key. But they're telling you 50% of the missiles and the weapons. That's why we've said to this show so many times, there's no way that Ukraine is out of ammunition.
No.
No way.
What is crazy about this, if you look at some of the list, and we're not just talking about sending machine guns and frag grenades and ammunition and light and heavy weapons. We're talking about surface air missiles. Mm-hmm. We're talking about serious, serious weapon systems that can cause a lot of damage in the civilian world.
Well, happened with Benghazi and Obama and Hillary Clinton with those surface air missiles being basically given over to those rebels.
Yep, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. It's so, again, something to just be aware of. But I, you guys already knew most of this. I wanted to bring this up because it's coming out now more and more and more what a complete and total sham this entire, you know, fund Ukraine project's been now. So no surprise there.
Well, there's no surprise at all with anything. But, you know, the thing that's really bothering me more than anything else right now is the unbelievable danger that we have as far as with air traffic control and what is happening. We've had another plane crash into a jet on the Scottsdale Airport runway here now.
Another one?
Another one. And that, now let me share something with you guys real quick. Years ago, when I took my pilot exam, you have to take an oral exam because they want to make sure you know what you're doing. And they asked me a question. They told me to basically land at the Lakeland Airport and hold short a specific runway after I had landed for oncoming jet. And I looked at Chuck, my guy who was giving me the exam. I've known him for a long time, and I said I misunderstood the question. And he goes, the runways are like an X, okay? And they wanted me to land on this runway and hold short this other runway. The problem is I'm flying a 210. I needed an 1,800-foot runway roll. I needed that to land the plane safely. And the problem is it was only like 600 feet. As he told me, he goes, air traffic control tells you to land on this runway and hold short the next runway for an approaching jet. He goes, what do you tell them? I said, I misunderstood the question. The question's not valid. And he goes, no, what do you tell air traffic control? They tell you to land the plane and hold short. I said, I'm going to tell them to pound salt.
Can't land
on it. And he looked at me kind of funny. He goes, you're going to tell them to pound salt? I said, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get an accident. So I'm going to run into an oncoming jet. I can't stop my plane.
Yeah.
And he looked at me kind of funny. He started laughing. He says, you are the only person that's ever gotten that question right.
Everybody just goes along with it.
Well, no, what happens is we're taught to learn how to do a short runway landing.
Yeah.
You come in, you know, full flaps, you know, the whole thing's wobbling, try not to crash, and you come and slam on the brakes.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I said, I'm not going to do that. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, it's not worth it if I have an oncoming jet.
No.
And so here's the problem that we have now with air traffic control. And I've had it happen before in Lakeland with air traffic control, where they tell me to land on a runway which has 25 knot crosswinds. And I'm like, and I've got another runway I can land on that has no crosswinds. I've got a headwind. And I've told them I'm not doing that. This is not safe. And they say, okay, you can land on the other one. I'm like, great. You know, but the point is, if you have DEI hires, Austin,
there you go,
and they're sitting there and they're watching this and they don't understand basic aviation, a lot of these guys who are being hired in air traffic control don't even understand basic airplane mechanics.
That's the same thing that I've heard now, because they're hiring the basic. Oh, well, you're gay and you think you're a female and your pronouns are Z, Zim, and Zero. Well, you're automatically hired because we have to have X amount of these kind of people in those positions.
The DEI
now.
Hiring. And so when it happens, the same thing happens with pilots.
Yeah.
How many pilots are going to say, okay, I'll land and do a short runway landing in there and I'll slam on my brakes and try not to hit the jet?
Yeah.
My response was, no, I'm not going to do it. You disobey them? I said, yeah, I would disobey them. It's not safe. I'm pilot in command. I'm in charge of my aircraft. I'm in charge of my passengers. I'm in charge of everybody's lives around me when I fly that aircraft. This is, you know, when you fly an airplane, especially a 210 Cessna, which flies at like 200 miles an hour, you're dealing with a plane that holds almost 100 gallons of fuel. That's a lot of explosive capability.
Yep.
It's like flying around a little missile. You know, and if you hit something with that thing explodes, it's going to be a major fireball, and a lot of people are going to get hurt. So you've got to be careful, especially when you're dealing with these big jets that have tens of thousands of pounds of fuel on them. This is a major deal, and so now we have another plane run into another jet. A private jet veers off the runway in Arizona and crashes into the plane, leaving at least one dead. This is getting ridiculous. I remember one time I was flying with Delta. And I remember we had a female who did not know what she was doing. It was a female pilot. I'm not picking on females. There are some good female pilots. And she's flying in circles, you know. And I walked up to the cockpit. It was open cockpit, a smaller plane. And I said, what are you doing? She said, you're flying. And, you know, you keep flying around in circles. Well, I don't have clearance from, you know, to go to our destination. I said, why didn't you get the clearance on the ground instead of burning all this jet fuel?
Yeah.
You know, but it was crazy. And so that was horrible. And again, another probably DEI hire. And so the problem with that is we're not just putting those people's lives on the line. We're putting their passengers' lives on the line and people that are on the ground's lives on the line. It's a major deal. Flying an airplane is not a joke. It's a lot more relaxing in the back, to be honest with you. I was assuming the pilot knows what they're doing. Otherwise,
it's
terrible if they don't know what they're doing. But anyhow, so
also other news. Speaking of crazy stuff as well, especially in the government, I saw this earlier now too. Is Trump border czar Tom Homan is now stating that ICE raids are being leaked. The leaks are being originated from the FBI. So apparently, there's an incident that happened last week where ICE operations in Colorado were targeting some of the Venezuelan gangs out there. However, it led to a lot fewer arrests than they anticipated and they basically had on their intel. And now they're starting to come out now. And Homan's saying that some of the information we're receiving is leading towards the FBI as the leak, meaning you got internal individuals in the FBI that are working with illegal immigration and, in my opinion, some of the gangs. Here's the problem that you have, and this is an issue that came out. There was a news story that talked about this over 20 years ago, and it was talking about how a lot of these guys were getting here from other countries and trying to do past a citizenship and then enlisting in the military, specifically the Marine Corps, and trying to request basically going in infantry. And they were going in and getting all this active military training and combat training, and then they were getting out and they were going back to some of these gang groups, and they were training the other parts of the gangs how to operate in combat scenarios. This is something that I personally think has happened similar in the FBI. I think you've got individuals now that have worked with these gangs, individuals that have worked that may have a clean background, and they've gotten into factions of the FBI, and they're working internally to try to make sure that these guys keep a foothold in the United States. So just something that I thought was interesting and to be aware of. Also, on the food topic, this is crazy. Massive recall for products at Trader Joe's, Costco's, and Walmart's.
This is so stupid.
This is crazy.
Nobody got sick. They haven't found one can that was contaminated. Nothing.
There's nothing that's even been found with botulism in it. There's this massive recall countrywide at Trader Joe's, Costco, and Walmart, and other big-name stores over canned tuna because essentially of a lid system that they said can easily be pulled open and possibly be contaminated. They said this distribution covers 25 states, including all the Publix, Kroger, Safeway, Harris Teeter's, Walmart, and Costco. This is one of the largest recalls we've ever seen on tuna, and they're saying now that basically it can be cracked open and it can be contaminated with botulism. And so they're recalling, I mean, I'm talking tens of thousands of pounds of salmon or of tuna, if not more. The number's not even all the way in yet because they're trying to figure out how many places they have to recall this on. And what's crazy, here's the recalled products here, all the locations. I mean, Costco's in Florida and Georgia. I mean, Publix, Harris Teeter, Kroger, Safeway, Walmart, Arkansas, Alabama, Arizona, California, Walmart, Georgia, Washington. The list goes on. But what's wild about this is that why do we keep seeing these staple products that basically people can store up? Canned tuna is a great product to store up, by the way. It's good protein. It's easy to add in the stuff. It doesn't always taste the best.
I don't like tuna because it's unclean. I'd rather have the
Yeah, but as far as a backup stored protein, it doesn't work.
I would do salmon and canned.
Canned salmon is good too. But the fact of the matter is, where are all these canned salmon tuna going? I mean, you're going to have millions of dollars in product now that's basically going to have to be disposed of because allegedly the lids can be easily opened. They're pull lids. Don't pull on them. They don't open. Newsflash. But I thought that was crazy because we're seeing this more and more now. You know, I was stopped by Publix yesterday to grab food, and I was shocked on how many of these plant-based meats are in the freezer section now between everything. When I was pulling some stuff open, looking at some frozen stuff beside the chicken, beside the beef. It's all imitation or plant-based chicken. They said plant-based chicken. I just grab a bag out of curiosity. I flip it over. First ingredient. Soy protein, soybean oil. I'm like, golly, that's the first thing they're making this out of. This is why they want to push all these products out, these staple products like tuna, salmon, eggs, chicken, milk, beef. They want all that out to be able to push these products and all this lab-grown meat as well. What do you think?
I think it's something else is going on, personally. I think it's a major problem with this stuff being recalled, and this time there's absolutely nobody sick from it.
Well, no. Nothing even tested.
Well, no, somebody opened the can. They said the lid opened too easily.
Right. That's exactly what it was based off of.
So we popped a can. Okay, so I'm working out in the gym, and I pop a can, and I gotten pretty strong. So the can pops off. I'm like, oh, defective lid. Recall 100 million cans of this or whatever the heck they're doing. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And now you think about it, too. Tuna is really a very, how should I say, it's a hard catch to catch without catching dolphins and everything else.
Yeah.
All right? How many animals and how many fish in the ocean ended up dying inadvertently to catch that tuna that's now being disposed of? This is a massive ecological disaster with this amount of tuna fish being destroyed.
Well, yeah.
And I don't like tuna because it's high in mercury. It's an apex predator fish, so I try to avoid it as much as I possibly can. Oh, by the way, this Lear 35, which crashed, I've been doing some research on that. That is a super fast airplane with a very high landing speed, with very, very swept wings. And when they first started developing these Lear jets, they were basically deciding that they wanted to have a really, really fast plane for people to go basically move into. And suddenly a whole bunch of people start dying in them.
Which is a high-performance plane then.
Well, when what happens is when you have an airplane, it has wings that come out like this, 45 degrees like that.
What plane is it?
It's a Lear 35. What ends up happening is the wings are raked. They go back very, very at a very steep angle to allow you to have a high-speed aircraft to stop the resistance as far as drag. The problem with it, when you do that, you got to land that plane fast. I mean, some of them land at over 100, 130, 140 miles an hour, and people are buying these doggone Lear planes, these jets, and they got tiny little wheels on them, which go up into the fuselage, so it's very difficult to stop these things. And so, you know, they're a handful. They're a two-pilot aircraft, and they are a handful to land. I looked at, you know, some friends and I looked at buying one of these things years and years ago, and they were just too dangerous. But, man, they're fast, and they were beautiful aircraft also.
Stall speed's 120 knots.
Like I said, my Cessna stall speed was like, you know, 55, 57 knots. So, you know, you're floating at 50 miles an hour, you know, 55 miles an hour. Now this is 120 knots. You're coming down. That means you got to land that plane at like 130, 140 miles an hour. And that's a fast landing for a civilian pilot who hasn't been flying, you know, high-performance jets. So I don't know what happened on this plane. It could have been the aircraft. It could have been a landing gear could have blown. He could have lost a tire. He could have just lost, you know, lateral control. All kinds of things could happen. But, you know, we'll figure out.
Max speed of 470 knots, though.
No, they're flying. That's about 550 miles an hour. They're really, really fast airplanes. Like, I think Arnold Palmer set a record going around the world in one time. You know, when they first came out, I think it was Arnold Palmer. But the reality is that this thing is really, really, really a fast, super high-performance aircraft. Personally, I would love to fly in one, but I have no interest in ever flying one or owning one. And plus, they're old now, too. In fact, I don't even think they're making Lear jets at all anymore because, you know, they basically went out of business a few years ago. But it was a fast. But when it released the 73, the Learjet 35 was among the fastest business jets in its class. In 1976, American professional golfer Arnold Palmer used a Lear 36 to establish a new round-the-world record of 22,000 miles completed in 57 hours. This thing is quick, Austin.
That's wild.
And it's got about a 2,000-mile range. Because of its speed and long range, leaders of many nations bought the aircraft as their primary or secondary jet. Countries who did this include Brazil, Chile, Finland, Switzerland, and Saudi Arabia. During Cold War, the Finnish airport, but you guys can read about all this, but different variants on it. It's a beautiful aircraft. When they get the right paint job on them, they look really, really nice. And it'll fly high and it'll fly fast. But apparently it's very hard to land the airplane. And so, again, this is the one that ran into the other aircraft.
Well, speaking of flying and crashing, Disney's now dropped two of its DEI programs as investor backlash grows. Now,
well, how about that?
Whether or not Disney's actually really dissolving this program, or they're just hiding it and trying to bury it. It says Walt Disney Company is reportedly dropping two of its DEI programs due to intense pressure from investors. According to the conglomerate SEC filings, Disney will be dropping the Reimagine Tomorrow program from its 2024 SEC report DEI section. The program was mentioned in the 2023 report, which defines the program as the company's digital destination for amplifying underrepresented voices and features some of Disney's DEI commitments and actions. This garnered controversy for Disney when they leaked the video showed top employees openly discussing the company's push to have more LGBTQ content in its ever-growing library. Good riddance. Now, again, is Disney actually getting rid of this stuff? Or are they actually just trying to hide it? I don't know.
You know what makes me angry, and I could get in a pretty good tear right now about this, is that, you know, you're looking, you know, 30 years ago, you were looking at 1% to 3% of the population had problems as far as sexuality, as far as what they defined themselves as.
Yeah.
Okay? And so what they did is they decided to take that 1% to 3% and basically push it to the foreground to try to force acceptance by everybody
to
of that
1%. To the front 1%. Of the line,
man. And now we have 20 to 30% of the kids that are in high school thinking that they're bisexuals.
It's like a quarter of the kids now.
Yeah, 40% of the 25% of men age 40 don't even want to get married anymore because they can't find any decent women to date.
Yeah.
And I'm going to repeat that another way of saying it, too. 25% of men the age 40 and above have never been married. They don't want to get married. They don't want to have children because they can't find any decent women today. And a whole bunch of women can't find decent guys today because of this DEI inclusion thing as part of it and cultural Marxism destroying the very values and the fabric of our society today. You know, I find myself in this dating world now, and this ain't Kansas anymore, Austin. You know, when I married your mom, it was a long time ago, and I had no idea the cultural degradation was to this point. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, and you talk to these younger girls or younger women, you know, in their 40s, and they're like, there's nobody to date. Nobody can date. Nobody knows what to do because nobody's out there available because guys don't want to get married anymore. Because the court system, let me say this in a way that makes any sense. The court system, supposedly, you know, we're having all this diversity now, but the court are still horrible for people who end up getting divorced as far as you dealing with Department of Family Services, having to deal with your children, as far as court orders,
I've had a lot of friends get divorced, and I can tell you right now, especially down here in Florida, the courts are massively, massively in favor as far as with females. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the stuff I've heard with alimony and child support and stuff that gets put in place, it's absolutely insane. I mean, DeSantis fixed some of that in Florida because it was crazy.
After lifetime alimony.
Lifetime alimony as long as the female never got remarried. Mm-hmm. So if they got divorced after 10 years, he had to pay her alimony 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, depending on his income, thousands of dollars a month.
Decades.
So if they got divorced when they're 30 or 40 years old, you think student loans suck. Try something that you can never pay off, ever. And that was horribly geared. And DeSantis put a cap on that. So there's a limit on a percentage on it. But that whole thing needed to be absolutely reformed. That was crazy. I mean, if they had something, you know, if you've been married for 10 or 20 years and you got 2 or 3 years alimony to basically make sure that other person can get on their feet, I get that. But going onwards lifetime, that's insane.
Well, this is a terrible topic to talk about, but a lot of the women and or men who are collecting alimony, they simply cohabitate.
They
never get married again.
No.
Because if they're getting paid $4,000 or $5,000 a month or $1,000 a month forever,
yeah,
why would you possibly get married again?
Right.
You know, because all you're going to do is cut your nose off to spite your face, and you're not going to get that support anymore. So that's why this is cultural Marxism.
That's exactly right.
This is what it's done. And then you get the other folks that basically think that, you know, it's 1960 or 1970 now, and they're on 15 different medications. They've had the COVID shot. They've had all kinds of health issues, but they want the guy to pursue them.
Right.
And you were so funny yesterday, and, you know, we were talking about this, and you're kind of like, well, do you really want to pursue somebody who's got all of these issues?
Well, yeah, you brought it up to me. Yeah. I said, well, what are you pursuing?
What are you pursuing?
It sounds like you're just pursuing a bunch of problems that are going to be yours, and it's not your monkey, not your carnival. What are you having to take care of all that for?
Well, no, and so the problem that you run into is that, you know, and a lot of you guys are going, yeah, I knew Ted figured this out sooner or later.
And again, I'm not trying to be derogatory. Listen to me. Like, I was just an open topic to have it on it. And, you know, you got to see what both sides are presenting to a situation. And it's not necessarily you do this and you do this. And I'm getting this and you're getting that. But it's also like, what are you doing to support one another? What are you providing for one another? What are you doing to build each other up?
The problem is what you run into is the cultural degradation because of the Frankfurt School.
Yep.
And liberalism.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and basically Gloria Steinem and all the rest. And all of a sudden, the roles that we had as children, the roles that we had when I was younger, as far as the man being the protector and taking care of the family and supporting the family, that's all gone by the wayside now. I mean, the government has basically gotten rid of all of that through cultural Marxism and the pushing of it through the university system.
Well, there was funny. I don't have the video. Somebody had sent it to me the other day. It was on social media. It was this big podcast. And this guy, and he had all these girls on his podcast. And he asked this one girl on there because she was like, she was like 27, 28 years old. And she goes, I expect the princess treatment is what she said. This is what I want all the time. He goes, well, describe that. What exactly do you want? She's like, well, I want to be taken on trips. I want to have this. I want to basically list off about 30 things she wants, pretty much completely spoiled on every single topic. And he goes, okay, all right, that's a big goal list. I got it. He goes, well, then on the other hand, what do you feel like you should provide to the man? And she literally looked at him. She goes, well, I haven't really thought about that. He goes, that's obvious. And I thought to myself, wow, how far have we fallen in society where you have certain sides where they expect a laundry list of things to be given to them and nothing to be done in return as far as I want all this and I want to absolutely have to do absolutely nothing, do nothing at anyway, do whatever I want, go wherever I want, do whatever I go, and nothing. And I thought to myself, that right there was society in a nutshell right now.
And you get a lot of guys the same way. They would look for a woman who's older than them. Who'll basically be their sugar mama? I guess it's a term I can use. And I don't know what else to say.
I've heard of it too.
They find a lady who's basically either divorced or widowed.
Yeah.
And you know, they're 10, 15, 20 years younger than she is, and they just want to move in and just chill out and have fun the rest of their lives. And they'll give the same 30 item list that the girl gave to the other guy.
Yeah.
And I've seen it. And you're sitting there going, wow. And a lot of these women, they don't know what to do because they can't find anybody to date. So they end up turning into a sugar mom, whether they want to or not.
Well, one of the worst, though, is from some guys, and you told me about this the other day, I've heard about this. You've got these guys now that are on social media that try to present that they're big deals. They got followers and they have all this money and they have a car and they have this stuff. And come to find out, they're just trying to act like they have all this stuff and they're completely broke. Trying to take these girls out, tell them they're going to do all this stuff.
Oh, I hear that all the time.
They get money from them. They ruin their credit. You told me about that.
Down in Miami, there was like a group of eight of them. They set up an LLC, and they basically bought a Lamborghini Urus, all eight of them. And
They
took turns. Like every other day, they would drive the Urus.
Go on dates
to have the Lamborghini Urus and be running around and say, oh, this is my Urus. Well, it was their Urus, them and eight more people.
So they're paying like, $200-$300 a month each.
Yeah. Of course, they get a purple Lamborghini Urus with a white interior. It's like a pit mobile running around. Look at me. And of course, every eighth day when they go back on their date, they take their Ford Pinto and they say, where's the Urus?
Oh, it's in the shop.
God, the stuff is crazy nowadays.
Well, it's just social media has ruined the world. I mean, I was talking to my good buddy about that in Tampa, the one that's got the wheel repair company now, and he said the problem is now, and it's affected females more than men, even though it's affected everybody, but because now everybody goes on social media and compares their life to everyone else, and females do this, the tendency more, and I'm not picking on it, but they look at stuff, and they go, well, this girl has this, and she married this guy, and she's got this car, and she's doing this. The problem is if nobody's realized anything, Instagram's not a real place. Newsflash. Twitter's not a real place. Like, it's not an actual real world. What people post on social media is always the pinnacle highlight of that day, that month, that week, what they did that they accomplished, they want to show off. Cool story, got it. But take it at face value for what it is and understand that most people's lives are just like everybody else's lives. You deal with problems, you deal with conflict, you deal with chaos, you deal with issues, and you move past them and you get over them. Nobody's life's perfect. Everybody's got issues. Everybody's got problems, and everybody's got to work through them.
Well, you speak for yourself,
yeah,
boy.
Whatever. But stop acting like this other person's life's perfect, and now your life's not anymore. Keep grinding. Stay in your lane, first off. Focus on your own goals. The biggest person to compete against is yourself. I found that out. Always try to compete. Always try to outdo yourself. Do a little bit more, a little bit stronger, a little bit time, a little bit more this, a little more that, and constantly push forward. Stop trying to compete against everybody else on social media.
I have one more comment, then we're changing topics.
You want to look at ultimate mold? This stuff kicked in, boy.
I feel it already.
I'm like, hands are tingling.
Perfect camera. Here's what I've learned being married for decades to the most wonderful girl in the world, my true love. Is that when you have a relationship and you want it to go well, it can't be one-sided.
No.
It has to be 100% both directions.
100%,
100%. Yeah, so funny because years ago I had a guy, his name was Doug, and he'd gotten married and we were in graduate school together. He had this great marriage, and he told me this. He said, it can't be 50-50. All you do is fight. It has to be 100% both directions. So 100% of the time, I'm going to give in and let Sharon do whatever she wanted to do. And 100% of the time, she's going to give in and let me do what I wanted to do. So we have this incredible marriage for all of these years without the fighting and the screaming and the yelling. Now, here's the problem with that. If a person is a giver and they're married to a taker, it goes one-sided real fast. Then the one person is giving all the time and taking all the time. And pretty soon, it becomes a lopsided mess. Now, This is the same thing you see in the dating world. You know, somebody says to you, well, I'm busy for the next 4 weeks. Well, there's a high probability they're not really interested in dating you because it's not a priority to even go out with you because you can't find a day to squeeze in to basically go out with somebody. Either they're too busy or they're not interested or they're unbelievably narcissistic. Now, narcissism is a real, real problem. Now, here's what you could say. Now, let me give you the bottom line on a narcissist. A narcissist thinks they're right all the time and everything they want to do is always going to be right. Now, here's what a narcissist cannot do. A narcissist cannot say, please forgive me. I made a mistake. I really messed up. They don't do that. They always blame shift it or they just own it, but they don't apologize for it. I've seen it over and over and over again. So if you want to be in a relationship and someone's willing to block out an entire day for you, but you may have to drive to meet them, there's a high probability, you know, you guys got to find some place in the middle to do this. One person can't be driving and trying to do everything all of the time because it's the way that you want it to be. It has to be reciprocal back and forth. Really, really important that people understand this. And I've learned that by being married for such a long time. You learn to become wired monogamous. In other words, you don't want to be in another relationship. You're happy where you are. But a lot of people never fully understand that. And they continually try to force people to do what they want to do all the time and take. And they never find time for the other person. That's a dead relationship, and it's simply not going to work. And then you've got the relationship with people who are basically wrapped up with their family and their husbands, or not their husbands, their mothers and their dads and their brothers and the sisters, and their whole life is centered around that, and there's no room for anybody else to come in. And so it's one of those things too. Always make sure it's got to be a balanced relationship if you want it to be long-term. Otherwise, it simply does not work. And if you don't drink and you don't smoke pot, okay, and you don't do drugs, and you don't do all these other things, there's a really high probability you don't need to be dating anybody who does all of that stuff because it's going to cause all kinds of conflict.
That's very true.
That's going to be a big problem. All right, what's your next story? Then I've got another good story here too.
Well, I saw this. This is just off the cuff. Another one. It just popped up. Budget airline forced to make emergency stop after pilot collapses now in the UK. I thought I'd cover that. It was a horrible segue. But again, I mean, it's like, what is going on? EasyJet, based in the United Kingdom, is operating.
Probably took the COVID shot.
Yeah. Basically, the pilot collapsed 2 hours into the flight, and they ended up having an emergency landing.
At first, we thought this may have been a passenger, as nothing much was being said other than the screams asking if anyone is medically trained.
Is that the last thing you want to hear on a plane? You hear, oh, my gosh, is there a doctor on board? Yeah, we found someone back here. We need him for the pilot.
Next question was, is there another pilot on board? It's horrible.
Oh, gosh.
Here's a really interesting article. It says, basically, it's from the American Thinker. I really like this group. It says, our self-important, self-deluding, self-aware, unaware elites, our self-appointed ruling class is insufferable. 2 weeks into the restored Trump administration and the Democratic media outrage template has become banal. Trump delivers on a campaign promise. Democrats collapse in the fainting couches and wail. He can't do that. And then those same sobbing, sad sacks get back up, clutch their pearls, and collapse in anguish yet again. It would be amusing if this was not so exhausting. Unindicted Russian collusion co-conspirator and former acting director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, ran to the Communist News Network to complain at CNN that all his old friends at the Bureau are terrified of being fired. Now they're also going, by the way, the people on the Bureau are notifying people who are basically illegals that they're going to have an ICE raid. Just thought I'd mention that right now. That's happening right now under Trump. He follows a fellow Democrat traveler, Anderson Cooper, who's also CIA, and he's also, you know, very, very, very openly gay, and that FBI officials are worried about how they're going to pay their bills and take care of their families. If you get fired, McCabe explained energetically, like one toddler telling another toddler about the world, you're done. That's the end of your reputation, your ability to get any job. You lose your pay, you lose your chance at a pension, and you lose your health insurance. He's probably right like that. If you lose your clearance with the FBI and your top secret clearance and people find out why, you're probably never going to get that level of clearance again. He's right about that.
No, you're never going to get it back. No, I've talked to you guys. Once you get it stripped, you're on like a do not security clearance list again.
Then he goes on to ask, did Cooper and McCabe ever shed a tear for military veterans who were treated like domestic terrorists for merely showing up in D.C. on January the 6th? that they call out the federal government's atrocities and atrocious actions when patriotic Americans with no prior criminal records were forced to choose between an egregious plea deal and spending years in pretrial confinement away from their families? Did they ever stop to wonder how ordinary citizens who don't have the elite privilege of avoiding prosecution as McCabe did, or the luxury of a side hustle on CNN because it's the most trusted name in news, retards, liars, and lawbreakers as reliable sources, were they ever going to pay their bills or provide for their own families? Of course not. As a tribe, a true saying goes, if it weren't for double standards, Democrats would have no standards at all. That's a fact. Well, here's some valuable advice for all the propagandists posing as journalists at CNN and all the unethical, just following order agents posing as law enforcement professionals at the FBI to learn to code. I hear that Elon Musk is hiring. So learn to code a computer. Elon Musk is hiring. Ladies and gentlemen, there's chutzpah, and there's the 21st century ruling class chutzpah. If we really are stuck in some kind of twisted computer simulation right now, like the Matrix, as so many atheistic tech boss desperate for personal meaning would have us believe, would the AI moderators for this timeline please dispatch with all the self-important, self-deluding, self-unaware, overpaid, useless elites? Nobody believes the programming language coming out of their mouths anymore, as Jack Nicholson advises, as good as it gets. Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
That's well written.
No, my nigga. Speaking of losers, I love this. Dual Israeli citizen Chuck Schumer ran onto the Senate floor to complain about President Trump's decision to dismantle the U.S. Agency for International Development, which has always been a CIA front for fomenting revolutions, and may have funded gain-of-function research, which they did, on coronaviruses in Wuhan, China. The Department of Education, under the nefarious limbs of the executive branch, that essentially launder taxpayer dollars into the bank accounts of bad people. Oh, Chucky fumed. This is just the beginning. Who knows? Next might be the IRS. And all the people of America rejoiced.
Yeah. He says it like it's a bad thing.
It is obvious even before Democrats started openly grooming children with drag queen story hours and encouraging them to have sex change operations in the fourth grade that the jackass party is totally delusional. But consider just how incurably delusional the Dim Dems must be for their highest-ranking leaders and governments to run to the cameras and cry about the possible elimination of the dreaded, politicized, corrupt, and the well-armed IRS. You know, and I think the Senate and House physicians should find Schumer gently knocking on his head and require, hello, hello, is anybody home? There's cuckoo there, Democrat violent rates, cuckoo, and there's a Schumer, obviously, completely crazy about the IRS, bat crazy kind of cuckoo. If the IRS disappears tomorrow, Americans all over the country will dance in the streets, and he's absolutely right. Of course, the IRS is basically an arm of the Rothschild banking cartel. It started the same year as the Rothschild banking cartel in the United States, underneath the unbelievably corrupt, you know, Woodrow Wilson, the syphilis nightmare that he ended up turning into. But I'm not going to go there today. What's your next story, Austin? I thought it was a good article.
that was actually a really funny article. And the truth about it is, you know, we've seen this kind of – he made that comment about nobody believes the tech gibber, you know, coming out of their mouths. That's one of the biggest pet peeves I had. I know a lot of guys in the tech world, and some of them are really smart. Some of them do really good work. But it's always annoying when they want to justify stuff that they're doing. I've dealt this for developers. Well, they'll come at you, and they'll start explaining this stuff, and they'll make sure they go extravagantly into detail about what they're doing with this backside of tech work, and they make it so overly complex the way they're explaining it that they know you're not going to understand it, so that way they can justify whatever they're doing, including increasing and padding their bill. I just thought that was funny because everybody's – it's like, dude, explain it to me. How do you plan on doing it? I don't need the ins and outs of the basic breakdown of it. Just thought I would throw that out there. Also, too, in other news, and I personally think this is tying back into the excessive intake of glyphosate now – study reveals rising inflammatory bowel disease among American youth. This has never really been an issue before, as far as with Crohn's disease and all these other problems like ulcerative colitis in young children. And this, in my opinion, is tying back into the massive, massive influx of preservatives, glyphosate, and other foods now. They're saying nearly 100,000 children diagnosed with ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease now.
It's going to get much higher.
Much higher. Research warned the United States has now some of the world's highest pediatric IBD, inflammatory bowel disease, rates, with youth in the Northeast most significantly affected.
We talked about this with celiac disease yesterday.
Yes. And what's crazy about this now is, I mean, this is something, you know, to my knowledge, I don't ever recall this being an issue with children. This has never really been not this level of an issue.
Well, it's the poisoning. They're being poisoned by the GMOs and the glyphosate. I mean, glyphosate has been linked to almost 30 different types of cancers. I mean, you know, the lawsuits just go into perpetuity with this. And the sad part about it is that until the Food and Drug Administration or the USDA takes this crap off the market, it's not coming off the market because the lobbying is too strong.
Well, and the problem is now, too, glyphosate is so intertwined in the food supply because it's done at the growing process. It's done at the base level.
They take airplanes a week before harvest, and they spray the fields with glyphosate for corn and soybeans.
This is even, by the way, they even do it, though, with non-GMO foods.
Oh, yeah.
Like oats and wheat.
And because what it does, it dries out the plants and causes them to have a higher crop yield, which allows them to make more money per acre. And it, like, let's say it costs $2 per acre to spray the glyphosate, it'll generate $8 acre more as far as product yield.
Yep.
And so what ends up happening is it's like it's a cost benefit for the farmer.
They have less loss on harvest.
That's right. And so what happens is, but the problem is the food has now been soaked in glyphosate. And so now when you cook this food or process the food, you're processing the glyphosate right in it. This is why so many people have problems with gluten tolerance with bread now.
Exactly right.
We never had that problem when I was a
kid. And people having issues with oatmeal. Like, and the reason why, Quaker oats have some of the highest amount of glyphosate they've ever tested. Oats aren't even a GMO product. They're not genetically engineered for glyphosate. Mm-hmm. They spray them before harvest. And that's why you really got to start looking at this stuff, especially with young kids, because the kids' health – remember, the kids that are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old that are having basically these bowel problems now and inflammatory bowel disease, what do you think is going to happen when they turn into adulthood? They're in their 20s and 30s.
Same thing with the kids with
autism. Their digestive tract's going to be shot.
Well, same thing with all the kids with autism. Who's going to take care of them?
Yeah.
There's millions of them now. Millions.
I mean, last time I checked, the entire digestive tract and the small intestines and large intestines are kind of important. You kind of need to function properly.
Right. That's what they know that. That's why they attack it. By the way, here's some stuff from the Book of Enoch.
Okay.
Yeah.
What segue was that?
I've been trying to get this one in all morning because we talked about this in Angel Wars.
Yeah.
And this is chapter 7, verse 7. It goes, it says, and restore the earth which the angels have ruined.
Okay.
And announce the restoration of the earth, for I shall restore the earth as before the flood, so that not all the sons of men shall be destroyed because of the knowledge of the watchers made known and taught to the sons. And then the whole earth had been ruined by the teachings. And the Lord said to Gabriel, proceed against the bastards and the reprobates and against the sons and the fornicators and destroy the sons of the fornicators, destruction with Noah. And they will petition you. And here's what they're going to petition you. But the petitioners will gain nothing in respect for them, for they hope for eternal life. Remember what I told you? The reason they're doing all of this stuff right now to all of us is they're trying to change the timeline because they don't want to go to hell. That's what this is all about. And so now they've gotten angry. You know, you see this with people that have, you know, been on the dating world for a little while. They get more and more bitter. You can become better or you can get bitter. And what ends up happening is these angels have gotten really, really, really bitter because they know what's coming. They know what's going to happen to them. And that's why they're trying to force God to do something different as far as their plan of salvation. So I talked about this in depth in Angel Wars, and you guys really need to listen to it. But I'm quoting you from the Book of Enoch that this is what they want. They want a plan of salvation for them, and they're not going to get one because of what they've done. Always remember that. This is something that God foretold in the future or you know, in the Book of Enoch, and he also foretold it in the Bible. And we went into detail with literally hundreds of scriptures in the series Angel Wars, which is available at the healthmasters.com website, you know, through Global Star.
So you did kind of segue it, restoring the earth back to the way it was, getting rid of the glyphosate.
Well, remember, number one, they don't have a soul.
Right.
So the plan of salvation doesn't work for them. They can't accept Jesus Christ. They can't do that.
Right.
That won't work for them. It doesn't happen.
It's over with. They're damned.
They're damned. And so number one, they're not in God's image like we are. So they're absolutely mad about that.
So they just want to ruin everything.
Right.
It's the glyphosate.
And they want to be us.
Yeah.
Now, so they're jealous of us. They hate us because they want to be us, and they're jealous of us. And if they can't be what they want us to be or we whatever, they're going to burn it all down.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing with HAARP and everything else. And I mean, you see what happened with this winter. We had like the coldest winter ever here. This just happened, and they were blowing up HAARP up in Alaska.
We were snowing up in the panhandle.
6 inches of snow.
On the beach.
On the beach.
If I would have known
the,
it was
Gulf water right there.
Yeah, if I would have known it was going to do that, I would have gone up there for a night or two. I've always been curious to see what it looked like, snow on the beach in Florida. That is not a normal occurrence.
No, this is all about what's happening right now. It's crazy.
Also, too, other health articles, and please don't send me emails on this. I know everybody's got different stances on it. I've told you my opinion on it, especially when it comes to people that are trying to come off pharmaceutical drugs or using it as a medical product. I got it. It helps a lot of people out with anxiety. I got it. However, in young children, it is not healthy. Heavy cannabis use linked to reduced brain activity and memory tasks down. They said it primarily affects younger adults with excessive usage.
Arrested brain development.
They said they analyzed brain scans of more than 1,000 young adults, suggesting that frequent heavy usage has lower activity in key memory and decision-making regions. They found that extensive use of cannabis is linked to decreased brain activation, especially during requirement working task aspects. And so, again, it's another reason why, like I said, I got guys that are combat veterans that basically have tried to stay off the pharmaceutical industrial complex.
For them, it's good. They're adults. It's okay.
You got a guy in his 30s, a combat veteran. He doesn't want to go on Xanax or Paxil, and this stuff really works for him. I got it. I honestly would much rather see somebody use that and maintain their overall health. And because you can use it in oils, you don't have to smoke it. Smoke is not very good for lungs. They make all types of applicable areas. But as far as young teenagers having access to this stuff now and using it every single day, it has zero health benefits, and it makes you lazy. Everybody I knew that is heavy, heavy pot smokers in college, if they didn't get out of it out of college, they just kind of turn lazy. And I mean, it's, again, like I said, for grown adults that need to use it for a specific reason, don't care. But you got young kids that have access to it. That's the biggest issue that I've seen now with the medical usage of it in the state of Florida, is they pretty much give anybody a card now for it at 18 years old.
Even if they're under 18.
Well, no, you got to be 18, I think, to get in the state of Florida. That's a requirement on it. But the issue now that they're running into, because, you know, I talked to somebody a while back ago that had a card, and they were able to get 20 or 30 of those cartridges a month on the prescription.
Stay
those
stoned the whole time.
Cartridges will last the average person days and days. And the issue now is they've rolled into the black market, and the young kids are going
to
hold
it. That's what I was trying to say. The young kids get access to it now.
Yep. And so now, like, I talked to a friend of mine that has a son in high school, and he's graduated now. And they said that the principal of the school said the tobacco pens, those pens aren't even as much of the issue as are the weed pens now in school. And they're getting busted with them. They're like, dude, these are controlled substances still. These are still scheduled one, technically.
There was a kid that I knew in high school, and he had a Jeep.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they called it the Johnny Jeep.
The Johnny Jeep.
No, because every morning they would go out there and they would get stoned out of their minds before school.
That's productive. It really helps the learning
well,
phase.
I remember, you know, the people involved in this pretty much have done nothing with their lives.
No.
And you know, some of them are full blown drug addicts.
Yep.
Most of them are dead. And you sit back and you watch and you go, well, could it be that bad? This is back in the 70s, and it's a lot worse than it is now.
Well, the issue now, too,
is worse now than it was then.
I've talked to, especially in this industry now, the level of THC and purity of it is insanely high with those oil pens. Mm-hmm. It's not like smoking some old pot that back from the 60s or 70s. This stuff's now all becoming genetically engineered. They've modified it to make it highest amount of THC yield. And then those oil pens, that stuff is strong. It's really strong.
And that's why Grady Judd said no to this. He said, we don't want this stuff in our state legalized like this.
That's the good thing. They got it. They did the medical thing years ago on it, which I wasn't a huge fan of. They were trying to full-blown recreational it in Florida on that last ballot bill. And then come to find out, it didn't even decriminalize it. So I was like, okay, well, maybe if people that want to have it, that need it, that are veterans, that want to grow a couple plants, and they don't want to deal with the entire complex.
Can't do it.
Okay. No, that was still completely illegal.
That's because the manufacturers are pushing this.
It was like the top five cannabis manufacturers in Florida were going to be the only ones that had a full-blown monopoly on production, distribution, and sale of it. Anything else was still illegal.
They haven't stopped. It'll be the next ballot again.
Oh, they'll try it again. And I was like, that goes back to that rules for thee and not for me.
And the more people that are on THC using medical cannabis, the more people are going to vote for it to be legalized.
That's true.
And so eventually it will be passed.
But I knew a lot of people, at least a few people that I knew that had medical cards that use them that still did not want it recreational in Florida. They still voted against it. They said, absolutely not. If you need it for medical purpose, that's one thing. Going recreational, this stuff, you think it's bad as far as kids getting a hold of it.
The other day, about 2 years ago, I was driving over in Clearwater, and some guy was stoned out of his mind driving his car. I mean, all over the place. I mean, his eyes are all dilated. I rolled his window down because he was driving like half a mile an hour, and I went around him, and he basically I was driving a pickup truck. I was driving a Tahoe.
Yeah.
A Tahoe had airbags on it.
The suspension?
Oh, it's great. Yeah. Great. If you ever have airbags on a Tahoe, it's amazing. And so he was going over speed humps like at half a mile an hour. He would stop at the speed hump over.
Was that a real low car or something?
Lexus, but it wasn't that low. And then finally, I just went around him on a speed hump. Oh, my gosh. Then he starts speeding up and driving wild because I went around him on a speed hump at half a mile an hour.
That doesn't sound like pot. That sounds like something else.
Oh, no, he was dialed out. His eyes were
Yeah,
totally
that sounds like he's stacked. Most people don't get very aggressive on pot. They get real docile and chill. Well, like I chase you down.
After he rolled the window down and he said a few things to me and I responded, really wasn't. I wasn't very nice. He calmed himself down real quick.
Did he?
Yeah. So just thought it's terrible. But be careful doing that because you get yourself shot in Florida.
The state of Florida is not a funny place at all to make jokes like that with road rage.
No.
I've seen so many videos. There was that one in Daytona last year, 2 years ago. Guys got a road rage thing. Somebody's recording it on their phone. Guy in front, there's a red light. He gets out of the car, walks back to the car behind him. He pulls out a gun. He's got a gun in his hand, walks up the car behind him. The guy in the car behind him, boom, shoots him right in the face when the guy walks up to it. Cops didn't arrest him. Said, you can't start walking around brandishing a firearm, walking up to people in the state of Florida while they're in their vehicle. That's castle doctrine. You can't just walk up to them on the street. You can't just walk around with a gun in your hand and not expect to get shot in Florida. Period. Doesn't happen. Can't do it.
It's so funny to me. It's a Lutheran church on Sunday mornings. You got to get a picture of the demographic here. It's old. There's always a police officer there with a gun in the hallway.
Yeah, they got a detail there?
Yeah, always. I mean, every Sunday morning.
It's a good place to have detail, man. I've always said that.
Well, apparently one day with Pastor August Bernthal, somebody walked in and basically took him hostage in front of the church.
I didn't know that. took him hostage?
Well, they kind of like, yeah, they were threatening like to blow up the church.
They have a firearm? Or
I don't know. I wasn't there. But that apparently that happened there, and from that point on, everybody said, you know what? Why don't we just spend and have a detail coming out Sunday morning?
A couple hours.
But it's funny. Sunday night they're not there, Saturday night they're not there, and they're not there. So they're only there part of the time of the main service.
On Sunday. Well, that's because the most prevalent time that a lot of people are there. Well,
by the way, U.S. spy planes are hunting for intel on Mexican drug cartels as surveillance flights surge near the border as the CIA is trying to tighten down on the other drug cartels so they can control more intake. It doesn't say that, but this is where I'm going with it. The U.S. military significantly increased its surveillance of Mexican drug cartels over the past 2 weeks, with sophisticated spy planes flying at least 18 missions over the southwestern U.S. and the international airspace around the Baja Peninsula, according to open source. The flights conducted over a 10-day period in late January and early February represent a dramatic escalation in activity. Current former military officials say, as come with the President Donald Trump's directs the military to secure the border and deter drug cartels smuggling operations. The Pentagon has historically flown only about one surveillance mission a month. Can you believe that, Austin?
Yeah.
Around the U.S.-Mexican border, according to one former military official with deep experience. That's because they're too busy flying and spraying us with chemtrails. Just thought I'd mention that. Typically, officials instead focus on these planes on collecting intelligence on other priorities, such as Russian activity in Ukraine. Yeah, that's more important to be Russia than the Ukraine dealing with all the drugs coming in.
That needs to be top priority now.
The activity highlights, because that way they can get videotape of Zelensky dancing naked. Just thought I'd mention that. The activity highlights how the military has already begun shifting finite U.S. national security capabilities away from overseas threats to focus on the southern border, where Trump has declared a national emergency. And he's absolutely right about that. So I would like to see these surveillance aircraft fly all of the time. But again, watch the movie Sicario, but don't let your kids see it. And, you know, and they're going to talk to you in that movie how the CIA controls the drug traffic because they have to be able to maintain control over the drug cartels. And it's a crazy movie. And I tell you what, the majority of the stuff he talks about in that movie is absolutely true. It's a rough movie. I mean, it's not for kids.
No, they're exactly right on it. This is another funny article now.
It's a horrible
attorney
picture.
Attorney generals, I know, in 14 states are trying to sue DOGE now, citing privacy concerns. This is almost funny. So there's 14 attorney generals, Colorado, Arizona, Connecticut, almost all of them Democratic states. They said they are essentially now trying to sue basically DOGE because Elon Musk is getting too much information when it comes to data and accounts and finances as far as with the federal government.
So we want to, we the people want to know where the money's going.
We want to know. They've put this department together to start figuring out why we just paid $59 million through FEMA to illegal hotel expenses and top-tier five-star hotels.
Last week.
We want to know why that's happening. And all of a sudden, the attorney general go, oh, no. You don't have access to this information now. Yeah, it's privacy. It's privacy concerns. You're getting too much data from United States citizens.
You know, the thing about the thing that's crazy is the fact that Congress had all this crap in budgets and they let it go through.
That shows you how compromised they are. But again, to the extent, and I'm not defending a lot of these clowns in Congress, but I can tell you probably the vast majority of them didn't even read a lot of the stuff. They didn't go through it.
Well, that says something horrible about all of them, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? It does. Yeah. It speaks very poorly of almost everybody in Congress that you didn't see anybody vote down on this stuff, or they approved a lot of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, why in the world is FEMA spending $59 million on luxury hotel rooms for illegal housing in New York? That one still baffled my mind. $59 million, spending $200 million a month? Or however often, I mean, this is an insane amount of money that they're blowing on this stuff. And now attorney generals are mad. We need to block. It's privacy concerns. Well, it doesn't seem to be a privacy concern whenever they want to tax you. Oh, you zelled $605 to your grandma last year. We've got to tax her on that money that you already paid taxes on. We've got to tax her on it again. Well, I don't want to be double taxed and triple taxed and quadruple taxed. Let's shut up, peasant. We're taking your money. Because it's what happens.
Well, it's like Chelsea Clinton and all her foundations and all her net worth and all the money she gets. And she was getting it from that same organization that was paying out all the other money.
You said, yeah.
And that she was basically feeding all these people with the money that she was getting in all these third world countries. Well, it ended up equivalent to be over $1,000 a meal.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's really
all the rest of us. All the rest of us went to administrative expenses.
That's exactly what happened. You know. And then they hired, like you saw the DEI hire out in California. Pays one to $750,000 a year salary.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's insanity. When you have this type of money come through, this stuff has to stop. And so, again, it's definitely coming to a screeching halt right now. And, again, that's one of the reasons why I continue to tell you, do the best you can in your local areas. Try to keep everybody. There was a video that popped up, and I'll see if I can post it on the website. It was up in Tallahassee this week, or it was last week.
Bastion of liberalism.
My brother sent it to me, the attorney. And I mean, hundreds of people showed up to one of the board meetings up there for the development in Florida for fish and wildlife. And apparently there's been another bill now. All these wilderness wildlife preservations and like protected wetlands in Florida now, they're trying to get approval to run toll roads through them. Toll roads through them with states subsidizing them. And then the toll roads charging us to drive through them. And there were some people mad. One guy got up there. I'll see if I can find the video. And he had a list of everybody on the board. And he goes, isn't it funny? Every single one of you starts listing them by name, how they all had direct interest in development companies, housing companies, manufacturing companies, some type of investment companies as far as with housing.
It kind of sounds like the local board of
isn't it?
People around us.
Yeah,
that basically
find out
vote.
That the mayor's a realtor and how one of the other main individuals on there has one of the biggest real estate companies in Auburndale and that they're voting for more and more subdivisions to be put in. Kind of funny how that gets compromised. So, again, keep your heads on. Continue to keep your body and mind strong. Run your ultra multiple powder. Stuff will get you going in the morning. Stack it with a purple stick. That's one of the best things.
I'll geeked up
last
again.
Last day on sale right now for 15% off. Be sure to grab that. Tomorrow, something else will be changing. Product of the week. I got to see what's getting voted on. But, yeah, make sure you stay stocked up on that. Also, too, be sure to check out the other specials we have and sign up for our weekly newsletter on the website. Contact us here down at the bottom as well and sign up for the emails, including on the show. Y'all have a great evening, my friends. Stay strong and healthy as always. We'll talk to you on this show.
By the way, you guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for your support. I love praying for you, and I hope you don't mind us going into some of the dating advice every once in a while on the show. Kind of, it's a weird place, to be honest with you. I love you guys so much, and thank you again for prayers for us. You guys are amazing.
Thank you, guys.